Oh, my children. That's what we read in Proverbs 8 this morning when Solomon is writing and concluding the chapter. Now, therefore, hear unto me, O ye children. Now, if I would take the book of Proverbs to preach all my children's sermons in the next years, the Lord may spare me, then I think I would be the right book. Because Proverbs was a book, as someone said, to put an old head on young shoulders. So children, you do well to read through the book of Proverbs often. Alexander recommended every young man to read Proverbs in a continual cycle. That the truth of that and the teachings of that begins to just totally soak your mind. And of course we need for that the Holy Spirit. Now picture in your mind, children, a man. He's walking with a loaded horse behind him, tracking through the wilderness. His packs of clothes with him and food and tools and weapons. And in his hand he has some kind of a sketchy map about the far northwest of Canada. Country he's traveling through is rugged, no roads, dangerous, grizzly bears, wolves, you name it. The summer is hot and short, and the winter proves to be long and cold. Why is he making this journey all the way from Toronto to the far northwest, a 4,000 kilometer journey? And this is not just a story. This is a real man. Because he heard they struck gold out in the Northwest Territories of Canada. Gold was in his mind. Some became fabulously rich, and he also hoped, dreamed he would become fabulously rich. Fast forward. There's a man sitting in a chair. He's slumped over. He's old. He looked haggard. He's drunk. Who is that man? The same man who started the journey. Never found gold. Lived a hard life. In the end, this was wasted. Totally wasted. And there's no sadder sight to see a sinner at the end of his life wasted, with all his dreams dashed. Compare that to another miner, the one in Proverbs chapter 3. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 3, children. And just for a moment, read with this word of God from Proverbs 3 in verse 13 to 18 about another miner. Happy is the miner, I call him the man, that findeth wisdom. You found me? Chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man or the miner that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of what he purchases or what he possesses is better than the things you can buy from silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. See, that is, this wisdom and this understanding is more precious than rubies. Rubies are very special stones. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Like what? Well, length of days in his hand. Length of days means everlasting. And in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And her paths are peace. Shalom, the Hebrew. That's more than no war. Everything is restored. Everything is beautiful. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now see, that's a different minor. And now let's go back to chapter 2. For that's where we find the scripture this morning, in which God says to you and to me, be a minor. And let's listen to Proverbs chapter 2 this morning as God's message is to us. Be like a minor. Now, if you look at chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, it begins to speak about son. Why is Solomon always writing to my son? Well, he only had one. Rehoboam. Yes, he had some daughters too. But he has only one son, and he writes this as a king, father instructing his son, and probably his young son, and he tells him, my son, if, now notice the word if, and then notice in verse 5, then. Now you've heard your mom and dad say it. Now if you clean up your bedroom, then you can go play outside. If you do your chores, then you get snack. That's how God talks to you this morning. If, then. And that's what we are to listen to this morning. God says, if you be a miner, then you find gold. So let's together think about that from these scriptures. What is the miner looking for? Number one. Obviously, he looks for gold and silver. Secondly, where is he looking? Where do miners look? Thirdly, how does a miner look for what he is looking for? And then fourthly, what encourages a miner to look for it? So keep your Bible open, please, at Proverbs 2, so we can look at those verses throughout this morning's message. What does a miner look for? Now, a miner looks for silver and gold and precious metals or stones or gems, all kinds of things. And if your mom and dad would take you on a holiday this year to the Coromandel, make them stop or ask them to stop by the Wahee mine. A giant hole we dug. And right there next to it are still lots of tunnels in which they're still digging for gold. I don't know if it's the only gold mine in New Zealand, but certainly it is a good one. Oftentimes, this gold and silver has to be dug out of the hard rock. It's often very difficult to reach. It doesn't lay just on the surface. You're going to have to dig out it and find it, and you have to break the rock apart and then try to find the little pieces of gold that are in it. And the efforts to find it and then to mine it are some of the hardest jobs, isn't it? Remember that man traveling all the way from Toronto to the northwest? And then he hasn't found it yet. Then he has to start digging yet. He has to go into the dirt. Now that's the gold miner. And if they finally hit their treasure, then what did they hit? If they finally gather handfuls of gold, then what do they have in their hands? Dust. That's all it is. Yellow dust. And that's why we read in Psalm 62, and I think it's on your outline, the verse 10b, if riches increase, set not your heart on it. Isn't that what it says there, 62 verse 10? If riches increase, set not your heart upon it. Jesus is also speaking about that. He says there was a rich man who had a great increase of his harvest, and his barns were too small, and he built bigger barns, and he finally was able to store everything, and he looked back and he says, wow, I can finally take it easy. And what happened that night? Jesus says that night, he died. And all his gathered harvest stayed behind. You see, that's the miner. Now God tells you not to be a miner like that. You say, well, I don't meet any miners today. Yes, you do. This church is filled with miners. We're all like that. We may not be digging out gold, but we're all mining to get rich and to get better, to have more. We're always mining for something earthly that somehow is going to make us happy. And we dream. And we work hard. And we go extra length. And the end of the day, we still only have dust. I read a story of a young man who was accepted into law school. Had to work hard in his college years to get there. Finally, he was in law school and he came to his old friend. He says, I got accepted in law school. Ah, my path is set out. I will work hard and I'll become a great lawyer. And the old man said, ask him, and what then? Well, then if I'm a great lawyer, I will get famous and I get rich. And what then? And then I will get a name and I'll end up on the highest court of the nation. And what then? And then I'll have a grand career and I will be really nice and I come finally old, I can retire. And what then? And then I'll go travel and I enjoy my life. And then? And then? And then I die. And then? And you know that man did not go to law school anymore. That little question, and then, became God's arrow. And he changed. He was converted. And he became a preacher. Ask yourself that question every time. And then, when I reach that goal, and then, till you come to the end of your life. God wants you to be a different miner. Let's look at verse 2. He says, my son, if you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, God wants us to mine for wisdom and to mine for understanding. And you see in verse 5 and 6, you get it again. Then shall you understand, as you understanding, the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth, that's Jesus, that is the Spirit, that's the Jehovah, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God wants you to mine for the real treasures. The treasure is called wisdom. The treasure is called understanding. And we read it from chapter 3 also, that wisdom is like a tree of life. Think of the tree of life in paradise. Promises life. What is this wisdom? What is this understanding of God that we are to mine for? What's so much better and all the riches. I think again of another parable Jesus speaks of a rich man who lives very wealthy and he dies and he opens his eyes in hell. That same day he died, somebody else died, a poor man, Lazarus. And he opens his eyes and he is in heaven. See, the rich man had riches, but Lazarus had wisdom and understanding. He had a relationship. He had a connection with God. He had found the Lord. And though he was poor and though he was suffering, he had something that would outlast this life. When God is speaking about his gold and his wisdom and his treasures, children, do not think of material things. Don't think about things you can touch. But what is more beautiful than love? What is more beautiful than having a heart that is cleansed from sin? Forgiven. To be again a friend with God. To be delivered from guilt and sin. You turn to chapter 8 in your Bible from Proverbs. You read in verse 10 again that word wisdom. 11, I mean. Wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not compared to it. But then notice verse 12, then wisdom begins to speak. I, wisdom. Like it's like your name. When you say, I, David. I mean, David is your name. Or you, I, Lydia. Here if somebody says, I, wisdom. Who is this I, wisdom? That's Jesus. He says, I, wisdom. What do I do? Oh, by me people reign, kings reign. Verse 15. In verse 17, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. And look in verse 18, riches are with me and honor is with me. Durable riches. Now don't think about money. Don't think about gold. Don't think about touching things. The riches that Jesus is speaking about is friendship with God. It is a relationship with the Lord. It is being no more fear to die. No more fear to meet God. Those are the riches. He says durable riches and righteousness. And it's all much better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. Than the choicest of silver. Wisdom is Jesus Christ. Now notice back to chapter 2. It also speaks about the fear of God and understanding in verse 5. If you will seek her, you will find the fear of God and you'll find the knowledge of God. Fear of God. 14 times Proverbs speaks about the fear of God. What is that? That means to esteem the Lord. The fear of God, children, is this. That before you make a step, you stop and you ask, Lord, what must I do? For thy will is the good will. The fear of God is you stop and you bow and you honor God above what your friends are telling you, above what your own heart wants to do. The fear of God is when you stand in respect and awe of the Lord. That's very special. That's the beginning of wisdom, it says in verse 10. Right? The beginning of wisdom, that means if you have the fear of God, you're becoming a wise man. Wiser than the smartest people in the world. Wiser than the richest. Fear of God. You need to look for that. Need to search for that. We live in a super dangerous world. Now, the dangers in this world are the greatest dangers in this world are in the things that look cool. That are exciting. The greatest dangers are in the things that you like the most when you have a heart that is set on the things of this world. You know, Satan is really smart. He always makes things look exciting. When Eve stood before that tree that was forbidden, the fruit was not rotten. This tree was not smelling. It was desirable. See, the greatest dangers. How do you avoid that? Fear of God. It's the beginning of all wisdom. Fear of God is asking that question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do here? You will not find that without mining. So let's think about that second place. Where then am I to look for this? Where does a miner look, and where am I to look? But before we do that, let's sing together from Psalter 1. And that gives us already a very good instructive clue. In verse 2 and 3, blessed is he who makes God's law his portion and delight. So verse 2 and 3 of Psalter 1. So God's treasures, the fear of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of who God is, seeing the beauty of God. Now, where do I mine for that? Well, compare that first miner. Where does a miner who looks for gold and silver? He has to claw through the dirt. He has to break through rock layers. He's out there every day, working hard for months and years, clawing and digging in the holes of the earth. Dangerous, damp, dusty. Hard and tiring to chop and to drill and to explode in order to get to the gold. You don't have to mine in the earth. You don't have to mine like that. God says, the mine where you can find all my treasures, I have given you in a book, the Bible. God's mind, friend, is not hidden underneath a rock. It's not in between rock layers. No. It's hidden in a small book he brought to your house. You don't have to go 4,000 kilometers to go find the mine. Just stop for a moment to think about that. He came all the way from heaven to bring the mine into my bedroom. He laid it on my night chest. And you go to Panathaya Christian School to learn how to mine the book. That's how you learn to read, right? That's how you learn to think. And you go to school. And why? So you can be smart? So you become an engineer? Oh, that's part of life, of course. But mostly, so you can read the Bible. So you can mine the book. Some children are no mind, can't read. You have gotten a mind to read, study, search the book. Now you have to look for it. You have to search for it. All you and I need to know for this life and death is in this book. If you had no other book in the whole of your life, you had more than you need to come through this life. Yeah? This book, between these two covers, is God's mind. It's full of treasures. There's no greater comfort and no greater comforter than the Bible. The end of your life, don't think that you get comfort with oxygen pumps. I stood by deathbeds of people that are fighting to breathe. I told my family the other day, I came in Iowa and I had to visit an old woman. She was dying. And they gave her oxygen and they gave her morphine and they gave her painkiller. And oh, she's struggling. And so I said to the elder next to me, came with me, I said, you know, let's sing together. No, read the Bible, sing. He said, let me sing. He said, yeah, we're going to sing together. Psalter 53. The Lord is my shepherd. And I sang, and he sang. And children, I'll never forget what happened. That woman relaxed. Totally. There was a smile on her face. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll never forget. That's comfort. No doctor could give it. And we were done singing and prayed and I walked away and I looked behind me and I was just struggling again. She died an hour or two later. But I've seen nothing could comfort but the Word of God. That's the mind. She had been digging in it. She knew it. She heard it. And she could find comfort then. There is therefore no greater companion to have than your Bible. I do not know who wrote it in his Bible, but I think you and I should write in our Bible. Someone wrote in the front of his Bible, either sin will keep me from this book. Or this book will keep me from sin. Write it in your Bible. Make a bookmark of it. Put it right there in front of you every day. Sin will keep me from this book. Or this book will keep me from sin. The Bible is God's warehouse that never wears out. Inexhaustible. There's always new truth to be found. It is like Luther said, in the Bible he says, every dandelion is like a paddock. Isn't that beautiful how he said that? What's a dandelion? We don't even like dandelions. He says, every dandelion flower, beautiful as it is like a paddock full of truth. And McCain writes, he says, if you get one pebble from the ocean of the Bible, a pebble, if you get one pebble from the ocean of the Bible, that is worth more than all the gold and silver that all the earth can ever give you. Because that pebble of the Word of God in your heart, that stays. That goes with you. Now keep in mind, you don't have to travel to get to the mine. The mine came to you. You all know the story of the Queen of Sheba. Jesus said, shall the Queen of Sheba on the judgment day stand next to you and say, "What? You didn't go and listen to Solomon? You didn't seek him and his wisdom? I had to come thousands of miles to go find him, and you didn't find him while you lived next to him?" How many of us will have the Queen of Sheba condemn us for having had Solomon in our home? No, more than Solomon. I don't mean Solomon, of course, he's dead. But Jesus Christ comes to you in your house, in your living room. And mom and dad read the Bible. When you take your Bible and you listen and read, it is as God comes to you. No, Moses already could remind the people of Israel. He says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 11 to 14, he says, "You don't have to come and look for it. You don't have to go and travel across the sea. You don't have to do that. No, it has come to you." I can't find the verse now. It's somewhere in Deuteronomy. But he says, look, you don't have to go across the sea to find it. It has come to you. The word of God is nigh to you. It's in your hand. So thirdly then, how does the miner look for gold? I've never been a miner in real life, but I can imagine that mining is the most pleasant task, especially in the old days. But I see that miner getting up every day. He's motivated. He's driven. He's eager. He goes out again and again to seek for the gold and the silver. And that's what the scripture here tells us. If we go back to Proverbs 2, "If thou criest after knowledge, if you lift up your voice, if you seek for her as silver, as a miner does, and if you search for her as for the hidden treasures." The miner is focused. The miner is eager. He has nobody to tell him to get up. At least not usually. Now likewise, God expects you to be eager and motivated. You look at verse 2 and listen to what Jesus said. "So that thou incline thy ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." What does that mean? Apply your heart to understanding. You're eager. You do your best. You devote yourself. You take the time. You repeat it as you do your memory verses and as you study for your test and as you try to master a certain skill. You try again and again. That's applying yourself. You apply yourself. You incline your ear unto wisdom. And now if you find that your heart is not moving, if you get up in the morning and you feel like, "I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't see any beauty in it." Then what? If you don't feel in your heart that you want to, well then look at verse 3. Cry then. Cry. Cry to God. If you cry after knowledge, you lift up your voice for understanding. Pray to God to awaken your mind. Pray to God to make you earnest. Pray to God to help you to see this is important. Pray about it. Don't do it. Pray about it. It says, "Lord, hear my heart. I don't feel like doing this. I don't have any interest in it. I don't see the beauty of it. I don't have any taste for it. I know my mind says I need to do it. Yes, the preacher says and thou says, but I don't feel like it." Tell the Lord. That's what Jesus came to do. To heal, to save, to restore. He doesn't expect you to save yourself. He expects you to seek him. He expects you to search for Him. He expects you to dig through this Bible. He expects you to search Him daily, but He doesn't expect you to save yourself. He knows you can't do that. But are you earnestly seeking it? See, earthly wisdom may be gained by study, but heavenly wisdom is only gained by prayer. And don't make excuses. Don't drag your feet. You don't do that for the things you like. You want to do something, you do it. You spare no cost, no energy, no time. You want to do it. See, that's what Jesus meant when He quotes John the Baptist, I believe, in Matthew 11. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. He doesn't mean real violence, but sometimes we need to apply ourselves some violence. I think of an old man. Well, no, I think of a young man. But he became old. Young man, you're so eager to find the Lord that he read the Bible too late at night. Now some of you do that too, but not the Bible. And so when he got later and later, he got sleepier and sleepier, of course, got late. So he snuck out of his bedroom. He went to the kitchen. He got the biggest pan out of the kitchen cupboard. He filled it with ice cubes and cold water. And he went back to his bedroom. And he stuck his feet in it. And so he stayed awake. That's violence against yourself. So eager, Reverend Keston, that was his name, did that. As a young man. You ever done that? That's mining. The Word of God. That's searching it through. Secondly, the miner takes out his digging tools and he gets to work. Obviously he has a pickaxe and he has a hammer and a chisel and who knows what else. For he knows that no one has ever found gold by wishing for it and waiting for it. You don't find gold that way, by just wishing and waiting. God says that's not how you find me either, just by wishing and waiting. You find me by digging and searching. You find me by applying and searching out the scriptures. God expects you to listen, to read, to dig. Elizabeth was sitting in prison. Miserable place back hundreds of years ago. And this is what she wrote on a piece of paper. Because the only thing she had in that prison was the Bible. She says, I walk many times into the pleasant fields of the Holy Scripture, where I pluck a sentence by pruning it. And I eat the sentence by reading it. And I chew the words by thinking and prayer. And I lay these words into my memory. And by doing this, and by tasting its sweetness, I less taste the bitterness of my miserable life. You see, the only cure and the only way she found she could survive that journey is by the Bible. We need to mine the Bible. Now thirdly, the miner always works according to a plan. Miner doesn't just start digging here today and digging there tomorrow and digging there the next day. Just shovel in and take a day of work and then the next day he goes somewhere else. No, he has a plan. He has a whole strategy in mind. And I explore this whole hillside. He does it step by step. And so God expects you to mine the Word. I still meet people who just read the Bible by opening it and read a piece. And the next day they open and read another piece. I don't understand. That's not how you go to school, do you? That's not what you do with your math book or your reading book. And why would you do it with the Bible? God expects you to mine it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, in an orderly, disciplined manner. And then again, it's not how much you read, it's how well you think about what you read. As the miner takes a rock, he has to then break it to pieces. He pulverizes it. Hopefully he finds a piece of gold. Or he scoops up the dirt with all the pebbles out of the river. And he sieves it through the sieve to get to see if there's a little gold in it. Picture that in your mind as you read the Bible. He said, how I search. How I apply myself. And he doesn't give up. Until he finds. Now let's sing one more time first before we look at the last two thoughts in the Psalter 333, verse 1 and 2. It speaks about the Bible study. How I love thy law, O Lord. Daily joy its truth for. So just verse 1 and 2 of 333 now. We'll stand again. Miners also have a torch. They have a headlamp to guide them as they search. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to be the torch to guide, to help us in our search. Not only to make us search, but also help us to search, to make things clear. If you have your Bible open, you turn back to verse 23 of chapter 1. You notice what God promises there. Turn you at my reproof. Do what I say. And then what? And behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. And I will make known my words unto you. Notice the order? First the spirit, then the understanding. Don't go search God without seeking the Holy Spirit. And notice that the Holy Spirit will not be given unless I turn at His reproof. God, we have to take Him at His word. This is what He says. And as you read the rest of the chapter, you know what the end of this chapter is not pretty. Maybe you can read it with your children, parents. If you turn at my reproof from your sinful habit, children, some of you have a sinful habit already. You don't read and pray all times. Maybe you read in your bed, but not the Bible. Not maybe a good book. Not a book of instruction. And Jesus says to you this morning, turn at my reproof. Don't go on living like this. If you turn from being lazy, you are a miner that just wishes and waits. Don't expect ever to find anything. No, turn on my reproof and I will give you my spirit. And if we ignore this command of God and don't complain of suffering loss here in this life, but also in the life hereafter, and be convinced, you aren't able to find God and the fear of God and the knowledge of God without the Holy Spirit guiding you. But you anger Him by being lazy. You grieve Him. You vex Him. You fight against Him by being indulgent in your flesh, doing what you like rather than what you ought to do. And that's what clearly the Scripture says here this morning. Study the Bible without the Spirit will make you a scholar without knowing God. But studying the Bible with the Holy Spirit will cause you to know God and become a true believer. So, if you receive my words, my son, if you take and you hide my commandments and you incline your ear and you apply yourself to understanding, then you shall find, you shall understand, you will find wisdom. So, let's one more time look at that miner. He has also glasses on. Glasses, so he could see clearly. You know, the old word for glasses is specs. Spectacles, short specs. And I've used that word, somebody showed that to me once, and I've never forgotten. When you read your Bible, put on your specs. It's very easy. I put on your outline so you can make a bookmark of it so you can remember it every time you read your Bible. And the specs are 5 questions you ask. Anything you read, S from specs, is there a sin to forsake? God is talking about a sin. You ask yourself, that sin in my life. That's the S. The P. Is there a promise here? And there is a promise, isn't it? Then shalt thou find. That's a promise. Then you'll understand. Then you will be kept. Is there a promise? Yeah, there is. That's the P of specs. And the E. Example to follow. Sometimes can also be not a good example not to follow. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, was not a good example. Solomon wasn't always a good example. Yeah, so think of the E as an example. C. Always look for Christ. Is there somehow something of Jesus Christ in this portion? And that's to see Christ to trust. Or Christ to follow. And an S. That's a stumbling block to avoid. Is there something in my life before me that I see as a stumbling block? It can make me fall, can lead me astray. Friends, books, pleasures, hobby can become a stumbling block. You see, those are just 5 questions. You can make more. But now if you take your Bible and you read it through these 5 questions, guess what? You're digging. Guess what? Now you're mining. Other times you were just walking over the surface, but now you're mining. When you take these 5 questions and you begin to ask yourself, what's it saying about sin, promise, Christ? Now you're mining. Now what did God promise? And that's my last thought. What encourages the miners? The earthly miners, well, he's encouraged by some stories that people found gold. And the chance is that he or she might find enough to make all the hard work worth it. Well, that chance is very small. Most of them never find any gold. So he needs to encourage himself with, maybe I will get it. That's not to be your way to encourage yourself. I'd like you to notice in these scriptures that we read this morning, there is a certainty in it. If you receive, if you apply your heart, if you incline your ear, if you cry and pray, then you shall find. There's a guarantee. There's no chance. Here God puts his own promise on paper. But if he sees you in your life a seeker, then you will be in this life a finder. If he hears you in this life an asker, you will be in this life a receiver. If he hears you knocking at heaven's gate, you will in this life find an open door. That's his promise. There is no chance. This is his word we have in front of us. In Isaiah 50:45, God says, I have never said to Jacob, seek ye me in vain. That should encourage us. No one ever sought Jesus in vain. And God told us many, many encouraging examples of seekers. I want to close with you to go to Proverbs 8, please. And we'll read those verses one more time that we read here earlier in the service. So Proverbs 8, verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me. This is Jesus speaking, children. Hearken unto me, says Jesus. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction. Be wise. Be wise. Don't refuse it. This instruction, what? Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. You see him sitting there? Every day he sits there begging. Every day he sits there watching, waiting, listening eagerly. And then verse 33. He's a finder. Whoso findeth me, findeth life. And he shall obtain favor of the Lord. The only way that you and I can find favor with God is when we find Jesus Christ. And now that last verse. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Do you love death? Yes, you do. And you hate God, when you despise God, when you want nothing to do with God, when God is not important, and believe me, you don't have to hate God with a hatred to hate him. And he's not number one. It's already hating him. And note what the Spirit says, he that hate me love death. Death means separation. Separation from God. How can you love that? So fallen we are. So blind we are. So foolish we are. That we love separation. Amen. Let's pray. Thank thee, Lord Jesus, of having spoken to us all. As children, as girls and boys, as young and older ones as well, because who of us do not need to be reminded? Thank you, Lord, for having set out before us this instruction about mining the truth of thy scripture. Lord Jesus, thou knowest that all of us by nature, as we're fallen, we have no desire to spend our time earnestly seeking the word. We've smelled gold, we're excited about money, We want to buy things and possess things and accomplish things and see things. Thou knowest. That's what our hearts are like, Lord Jesus. And yet thou hast told us this morning that only when we seek thee earnestly shall we find thee, and we pray, take this, our heart. Hear this, Lord. Thou said, give me thine heart. Oh, here it is. It is not a good heart. It's not a willing heart. It's not a heart that really sees the value of all this. And we ask thee, Lord Jesus, take thou our hearts. Incline us, draw us, renew us, and teach us so that we may find the knowledge of God and the fear of God and may know this joy. Please hear us and forgive us our sins this morning also. And when sin has been pointed out to us, now help us to turn at thy reproof. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.